Welcome into Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and some of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join in as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. This week we'll be featuring the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving dinner that is an annual tradition here in San Antonio. We felt that this would be a perfect week, of course with Thanksgiving coming up, to talk about this great event here in town. During this holiday season, many senior citizens in San Antonio and abroad are alone and sometimes can't afford to prepare a Thanksgiving meal for themselves. But in 1979, San Antonio restaurant owner and businessman Raul Jimenez recognized this need in his community and established a Thanksgiving Day event designed to serve these often forgotten individuals. Now in its 42nd year, the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving Dinner continues to provide senior citizens and the less fortunate a place to enjoy a hot and nutritious turkey dinner with all the trimmings on Thanksgiving Day. The event is typically held at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in downtown San Antonio and invites seniors to dine at a community dinner table so they can celebrate the holiday with their peers as well as enjoy live music and entertainment. However, due to the COVID-19 pandemic last year and this year, the annual event has made a shift and partnered with nonprofits from around the area to provide meals through a delivery service so that the individuals in need can still enjoy a great Thanksgiving meal in the safety of their own home. Pre-COVID, the dinner served over 24,000 citizens from San Antonio and the surrounding areas and has grown to be one of the largest Thanksgiving benefits in the country. Our interview this week will be with Raul Jimenez III, the grandson of the original Raul Jimenez, who started the event over 40 years ago. I'm really excited to get to my interview with Raul Jimenez III, but before I do, I want to remind the listeners that this episode is brought to you by Live from the Southside. Live from the Southside is a Latina-owned online and print publication that helps residents and visitors find things to do on the south side of San Antonio and throughout Texas. Their goal is to improve and expand community relationships through promoting positive stories, interesting people, and businesses in the community. You can visit their website at southsidesanantonio.com, which is also where you can order the Live from the Southside print magazine. You can also order your copy of the print magazine on Amazon or simply subscribe to their newsletter to receive your online edition of the magazine. Lastly, you can follow them at SouthsideSATX on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Huge thank you to April Monterosa, the editor-in-chief from Life on the Southside, for supporting this podcast. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and in our next segment, we'll be joined by Raul Jimenez III, so stay tuned.
This is what we're made of, the businesses that line our streets and the customers that make them flourish. As a business owner, this is your community, your members, your regulars, your neighbors. Your business is unique. So are your customers. No matter who you need to reach, Spectrum Reach is here to help you connect with the right message on every screen. Visit SpectrumReach.com to connect with a local advertising expert. That's SpectrumReach.com.
Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, Erica and I will be sitting down today with Raul Jimenez III, who now runs the annual Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving Dinner. Raul is a Texas native and has spent most of his life in San Antonio. Over the years, he has had the pleasure of meeting and developing friendships with many great people in this community. He attended Central Catholic High School and graduated with a bachelor's degree from UIW in 2008. Upon graduating from high school, Raul owned a small carpet and floor cleaning company and also spent 3 years as a corporate executive for the Target Corporation. He had the privilege to serve on the Hispanic Diversity Panel for the company and led the volunteer outreach for all Targets in the San Antonio district. After gaining a taste of the corporate life, Raul soon realized that he missed helping people. The wealth of knowledge and connections he had acquired over the years led him to the decision to become a realtor in 2014. He was taught at a young age to give back and expect nothing in return. His motto, like his grandfather's, is "We come into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. It's what we do in between that counts." So with that said, here is our interview with Raul Jimenez III.
All right, so we are with Raul Jimenez, and he is here to talk to us about the Raul Jimenez dinner, the Thanksgiving dinner that happens annually. Hi, Raul.
How's it going, Erica? I appreciate being on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for making the time to talk to us. Before we jump into all the stuff about the dinner, give us a little bit of background on you.
Sure. So I was born and raised in San Antonio. And as you can tell, I've been doing this pretty much my whole entire life. So when I was born, my dad was like, "All right, come on, it's time to get to work." So I pretty much experienced Thanksgiving with the community my whole entire life. And in doing so, you know, just giving back to the community year in and year out. developed who I am. I'm in real estate now, and my main goal is serving others. So this is kind of like the same platform, just in a different realm year round that I do, to help other people with, real estate needs and whatnot. But ultimately, Thanksgiving dinner has kind of geared me to where I am today.
And I just want to touch on the fact that your name is exactly the same as the dinner, but it's not, you're not the originator, but you're definitely carrying the torch.
Sure. Yeah. So my grandfather, he was the originator, and he, senior, he came and he wanted to do more for the community. And so my father got the name, and then obviously I'm the third. So it's big shoes to fill, but, very blessed and thrilled and lucky to be a part of this.
And I think it's amazing that it's come this far. I mean, just when I was doing a little bit of research on it, of course, I'd heard about it before, but I'm seeing that this is the 42nd year of this annual event. So it's been around that long. I mean, of course, you mentioned that it was started from your grandfather. So kind of take us back. I mean, obviously, I know you weren't around then, but but when your grandfather started it, what was the reason? Like, what was kind of the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, so I have two takes on this, right? So obviously the story goes back in 1979, my grandpa, he had Mexican restaurants and also had, Mexican food products that he was serving to the communities in Texas as a large, he was selling to there as well. But, he wanted to give back to those that had helped him along the way. And in his realm at the time was a lot of senior citizens. So they're what supported his business. So at the end, when he realized the holidays would come, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, he realized that a lot of them were lonely. And, it's not like it is today where we have social media and, we could Zoom, with family or whatnot. So he realized that it was very lonely for them. So he said, hey, and my grandmother's name was Mary. He said, hey, Mary, we're going to have a little, dinner for, some of our friends, and we're going to just do it on Thanksgiving. She was like, OK, great. And of course, my grandpa had a huge heart. So everything he did was like times 20. So, Mary, my grandmother, we call her Momo, but she was like, OK, great, let's go ahead and do this. And sure enough, how many people are you expecting? Oh, some of the closest friends or whatnot. So here she is thinking it's going to be like 15 or 20 people. Sure enough, 100 people showed up on the first one. It kind of started to turn.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's kind of what we developed today. My flip side of it is my grandfather loved my dad and my aunt a lot, but he definitely loved us, the grandkids. It's my sister Jessica, myself, and my brother Art. And part of me says that my sister was born in 1979 as well. So it might have been, he was just so grateful that, he was able to have, his first granddaughter that he wanted to give back. So it's kind of a, a dual thing that I like to, put in perspective. But either way, that's how it all started.
Your family wasn't even expecting 100 people at the very beginning?
Well, let's be honest. My grandfather probably was, but my grandmother absolutely not. And, it's funny, we do that to this day. It's like, oh, and I don't know if y'all know, but our family as a whole is super, super tiny. And so it's my aunt, Patricia, my sister, Jessica, Art, my brother. And then I have one uncle on my mom's side and my mother that's still alive. Outside of that, that's a Jimenez family. So people think that we have, this big old, legacy of, cousins and cousins and family and family. But realistically, it's been year over year, just family ties that we built. So when we do something, we're like, hey, we're having a barbecue. Everyone's welcome. Or we're going, whatever. We just kind of, have big hearts and we want to, invite everyone that we can.
That's so fantastic. And of course, now it's held at the convention center, right? The Henry B. Gonzalez. Right. I'm kind of interested to know, where was it originally held? Or do you actually know?
So the first one was at the restaurant that he had. So he had Jimenez, foods or whatnot. So he did the first one there. It was actually over in Fort Worth. So that's kind of what started it. And then we transferred over here to San Antonio. And it started very, very small for the first, 5-7 years. My grandfather funded it out of his own pocket. So it was very expensive. Turkeys, as everyone knows, the Thanksgiving holidays is very, very expensive, especially nowadays, because, things have gone up so much. But back then, people just didn't, know what to do. And my grandpa was like, hey, we had a great year. Let's go ahead and give back. Then it multiplied into thousands and thousands of people. Then that's kind of where we started leading on the community a little bit. And ever since then, we've been, overwhelmed with joy that everyone year in and year out comes to support us. And we really couldn't do it without the community.
And you did say slowly it became thousands and thousands of people. I mean, how many people do y'all serve?
Yes, traditionally we serve about 25,000 people. obviously we're living in the era of COVID. So last year what we did was we decided we wanted to keep the legacy going, and we reached out with community leaders, and we came up with a plan to go ahead and distribute to the doorstep. So now we got outbound meals going out, right? So we were able to be blessed with the opportunity to do that last year, and we're doing the same thing this year. We've just upped our numbers. So instead of doing 25,000 at the convention center, we're actually going to reach out and do 12,500 homebound deliveries, which is a huge organizational logistics setup. And we've just been blessed to be able to, you know, partner with some, you know, nonprofits like Meals on Wheels to kind of help with their logistics. And then just everyone else in the community that's been, you know, we have like 250 drivers that are going to go out and deliver these meals for us.
Wow. Earlier, you kind of touched on how you just always grew up around the dinner. I don't know if I'm being too literal, but I'm imagining you running around every year, literally amongst strangers and helping. What did it really look like?
And I was wondering the same thing. Like, what was your initiation, if you will, as a kid?
Yeah. So initiation is funny because it was more like my grandfather would grab my hand and come on, you're coming with me. Next thing you know, I'm on the stage and like everyone's looking at us. My grandfather has a microphone and introducing everybody. But, you know, my dad was very inspirational as well. Everywhere we went, it was kind of like, you know, helping out with the community, helping out with San Antonio. But initially, when we were young, me and my brother would, you know, we had a whole bunch of pumpkins and like balloons and all kinds of stuff. So we're just running up and down the aisles.
Wow.
You know, just trying to play. And then, you know, obviously we get in trouble here and there. But other than that, it was just a very warm kind of experience. And what we've done with our kids, my sister has, I guess, an older son and a younger daughter, and my daughter. You know, we bring them every year and they are able to reach out and they're able to talk to people. It's really a humbling experience when you think about it, because sometimes the kids are like, I want a candy. And they don't realize how fortunate or how grateful they should be for all the things that we've done and how much we've sacrificed over the years for them. So, you know, that's part of their Thanksgiving now, too. So they're there each and every day. They weren't there last year just because of COVID, but we'll get them out there this year.
So this year you're going to have it in person then a little bit too, or?
Kind of, but not really.
Okay.
We're upping our numbers. So last year we did close to 10,000 meals. So this year we're doing 12,500.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to deliver a little bit more. We did partner with some nonprofits that, you know, like some of the shelters around the area so that they can actually get the warm meal, which would be some of our most vulnerable are homeless in our society. So we're going to partner with them so they actually get the hot meal, but not necessarily in the convention center. We are cooking all the food there and everything's going to be operated from there. That's kind of our headquarters/hub to where everything's going to get delivered out.
You mentioned that, of course, you're cooking the meals, and I would imagine that you're not the only one cooking those meals. So speaking of that, like, what kind of volunteer opportunities are out there for people that want to help and want to give back?
Sure. So my grandfather was a cook. He had awards all over, you know, Europe or whatnot for cooking. I am not the cook. I can promise you that. I might burn a turkey or two. But we've partnered with Arcade Group since the very beginning, you know, which is Rosemary's Kitchen.
Nice.
And they come in and they cook all the meals, right? So from Sunday, we start cooking and we kind of go through, get everything prepped, you know, the green beans, the yams, the turkeys, everything that goes through with the gravies. And then we kind of space it out to where we kind of get everything, you know, put on a schedule. For volunteer opportunities, like you had mentioned, there's a lot. So we either have drivers, right, to get the meals out there. We also have people that are going to be up in the kitchen kind of opening cans, prepping that part, getting all the meals prepped in little containers, because each container has got to go out individually. And then we also have the mass distribution side that we're actually going to have the lines going on. So we start on Sunday. We end Thursday around 3-4 o'clock. But everywhere in between is an opportunity to help.
In your experience doing this, and you know, you have a lot of years of experience, not only as a child, but now as an adult, you know, helping run this. Were there any moments or years or particular events? I'm sure every year, you know, something stands out to you, but was there anything in particular that stands out over the years that was like, man, I am really doing something here? Or we are really doing something here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could probably go on for days if I was to zoom in and kind of talk about all these different moments. But, you know, it's different when you actually get to mingle with the people. You know, when we talk about who comes to the event, we're talking about senior citizens, those that aren't as privileged as some of us, military vets, people that have lost a spouse, displaced military. Sometimes people that are just going through a tough time. So what I've been able to see is you get the nostalgia from where they have been. I mean, you have people that have, you know, served in two wars. You have people that have done so many great things but they're the last person in their family. So what they do is they come out, serve, and then they go ahead and take a seat at the community dinner table, and they get to enjoy, and they feel like they're a part of something. So experiences like that, about 4 years ago, I met a girl named Kathy. She's bound to a chair, but you know, she looks forward to this event each and every year. Well, the year I met her, we had like a photo booth, and she was waiting in line to get their photos, but she couldn't get it because the bus was coming. And she needed to make sure, because that was the last bus going out. So we exchanged numbers. I got the photo for her. And to this day, she calls me once a month to check on the family to make sure everyone's doing good. And she's like 68 years old. And last year, the last meal I delivered was to her house. And, you know, for her, it means the world, because it means that someone's actually coming out of their way on a day that even some of her family might not be coming out to her, that someone else is going out to visit. So that one really touches base with me, because it actually, you know, melts my heart the first moment I met her. But she's been just, you know, part of my circle and what I do every year, making sure she's taken care of. And then, you know, there's all kinds of other situations where, you know, people might be going through tough times in life, and, you know, might be on the fritz on what they want to do. And I've met some people. There was one time I met a guy who was just at the corner, just staring out. And I asked him if he needed anything to introduce myself. He's like, I'm from California. I don't understand what this looks like. And he was like, well, you know, I explained that, you know, we're serving everybody. Everyone's, you know, part of this meal, and you get a plate. You can serve, you can do whatever you'd like. And he just, you know, was like, kind of like in awe. And he broke down a little bit more. But he said, you know what, I'd love to serve. So he started serving, and boom, he was handing out pies and pies throughout the day. I circled back with him and was like, hey, how are you doing? You know, I see you're still here. Your shift, you know, it's only a 2-hour shift. It's four, you know, it's been 4 hours. And he's like, you know what, Raul, this really changed my life, because I was really scared that things weren't going to go good for me. You know, he was going through a nasty divorce, and his family was in California. He was here. But he's like, you know, this gave me a different vision on how lucky I actually am and how blessed I am. And being that I was able to serve others actually warmed my heart. And sure enough, next year he came back with his children. So he was like, hey, you know, this changed my life. I want to hope that my kids see what, you know, what it is to give. And there's just a lot of moments like that that kind of ring true. People always ask, why do we continue to do this? Well, it's the interaction. It's the people aspect that kind of keeps us going each and every year.
I was just going to say, I'm on the verge of tears over here.
Well, and I am curious to know, you mentioned that this year you're going to increase the amount of meals delivered, but right. Is there going to be any kind of in-person meals being had?
Yes and no. So when we were talking a little bit earlier, we're partnering with a lot of the local surrounding shelters around the
okay.
So a lot of the places where they house some of our homeless here in town, we'll be able to get it right around. It's just, we're not bringing them into the convention center this year, just because it's a vulnerable population in general, senior citizens. And you know, with COVID and everything going on, we would like to be cautioned to the safer side this one last year, and then next year be able to come back full force and be able to be in person. But we won't forget anybody. If we have 211, which is United Way, we've put up a certain amount of meals that can be delivered. So if they reach out to 211, they're able to go ahead and get on the roster to go ahead and get a delivery. And that's kind of what we're doing. Don't leave your house. Don't leave your neighbor, your community, or wherever you're at. We're going to come to you. And in doing so, we're still reaching the masses, just not in person, like at the convention center.
So I'm sorry, just to reiterate that, because I mean, I caught it, but I also want to be sure. You said it was 211, like they can call?
Yeah, they could call 211. Kind of, it's a platform that United Way set up for us. So we have a predestined amount of meals that we're going to go ahead and deliver based off of that platform. There's other platforms that we have as well, but that one's the easiest for people that might need a one or two meals. We could get those delivered to them. So they go ahead and call the 211. We'll go ahead and put them on a roster and say, hey, between this time and this time, you'll have a hot meal on the way.
So it's centered around Thanksgiving. I'm assuming that involves turkey and stuffing, but you know, what else is being delivered? What else can our senior citizen population expect?
Sure. So we got the turkey, we got the stuffing, green beans and gravy. We got yams. We were doing a lot of pumpkin pies in person. It's just when we try to transport them, they kind of break up a little bit easier than you would think, you know, because it comes served cold. But then when we transfer them, they're in a warm box container. So it kind of starts to, you know, gel a little bit. So we don't have the pies in there just to keep it consistent. But other than that, it's going to be a nutritious meal, hot meal. You know, we don't spare any kind of, you know, corners on that. We go ahead and give them something like we would have at home. And actually that's what we eat because that's our day. And, you know, we've just been accustomed to it.
And then just to touch on who this meal is for, because I know it definitely started for the, like you said, with your grandfather, he was looking at the older population, but I think it's expanded.
Sure. Yeah. So originally it started with the senior citizens. And then as it began to grow, we realized that there was other people that were in need. So we reached out and started saying it was for, you know, those less fortunate, you know, our homeless populations. We started reaching out and then it was like to the military, because we realized that we're Military City USA. There's a lot of people that are displaced from their families. So we went ahead and reached out to them. And what's really cool about the military is they'll come and volunteer their time. And then at the end, they'll sit back down and eat and enjoy a meal. So it's kind of a 2-for-1 kind of deal. They get to start out the, you know, the holiday season with, you know, giving. And I think at the end of the day, that's really what is so special about this event. It starts the holidays. It says, hey, we're doing something good. You know, we're very blessed and grateful, but at the same token, we got to serve. And, you know, we really took off our cap and said it's open to the community now. When we're feeding 25,000 people, you know, it's come all come whole. And we all, there's no hats. Nobody's, you know, better than you are. Or, you know, you can be president of this league or president of that league. But when you come to the community table, everyone's equal. We're all there for a cause. And that's just to give and serve.
Now, I'm curious to know, because how phenomenal this event is that you helped put on, have other organizations or people in different large cities, you know, like Houston, in close proximity, right? Like Houston, sure. Austin, Dallas, El Paso, or even, you know, the RGV, have they reached out for like advice and maybe setting up something like that in their own cities?
Yeah, I mean, we've collaborated with a lot of different organizations and groups. What I think some of the other cities have done is they've broken it up over a longer period of time. That way it's a little bit easier to meet the masses. What's unique about our dinner is it has 100% community support from our local leaders, our community. I mean, Santo is a very resilient and adaptive community, and that's why it's my hometown. That's why I'll never leave here. Because, you know, people have big hearts and there's no politics involved. It's just coming to serve. There's a lot of people on our committee that take off vacation just to be here for the week of. So it's really people coming and giving out of the heart. So when we collaborate with other communities, it's more of a, this is a nonprofit, which we are, but for them, it's like, well, we can't take off that much time. It's more of a smaller kind of venue. We've just been really fortunate. I think we're probably the only one of its kind in the nation that does it like this. And at one point we, I believe we hold a world record for the largest meal served in a day.
Wow. I was just going to ask about the volunteer opportunities. I know you said that you guys are always welcome to more and more volunteers. How can someone become involved?
Sure. Great question. So the easiest way is to go to the Raul Jimenez Dinner website. On there, you'll be able to find volunteer opportunities. There are specific times because this year, I mean, typically we have about 5,000 volunteers. So when you think about 25,000 people, it takes an army to do that. So normally we have about 5,000 volunteers that help us and get everything organized for us. Obviously, we're doing things differently. So instead of 5,000, we're probably closer to like 250, 300 people. So the pool's a little bit smaller, but there's always opportunities for donations, for time. I mean, time is the biggest part of it. And not only that, you know, donating your car to go across town and deliver a hot meal to some people that really need it. So there, you could go to the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving website, and in doing so, you'll be able to see what's available. We're just really blessed because it goes out so fast because everyone's all eager to do it because they've been doing it year in and year out for so long.
Earlier or a few minutes ago, you mentioned a few things that make San Antonio great. And that kind of leads us into one of the questions that we always ask on Searching for San Antonio, which is, what do you think it means to be a true San Antonian?
Wow, that's a loaded question. honestly, you know, San Antonio is unique because we have all walks of life here. We're not just one-sided or the other side. It's a very diverse community. And what you see is, in a whole, the community comes together and they work to common goals. And it's always about teamwork. It's always about striving for better. Let's make San Antonio better. Let's make our city more beautiful, things of that nature. So when I look at the community and what we do year in and year out, I'm at awe with what kind of support we get from the community year in, year out. I talk to people that have been there 20 years ago, 15 years ago, And they're like, you know, now I'm bringing my kids over because I want them to get the full impact of what this event really means. So to say, what does it mean to be San Antonio? It means to me, you know, serve, you know, you got to give more than you take. And at the end of the day, God is good. Life is good. And you just got to count your blessings. And I think that's what San Antonio encompasses the most. We're resilient. We're adaptable. We like to have fun. We love our fiesta. And to me, this is a fiesta on Thanksgiving.
Well, and the reason I know that's true is because I've spoken to a lot of nonprofit leaders here in San Antonio on this podcast. And one thing that they said stuck out to me, and that's the majority of their donations were smaller donations. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't just these large companies making huge $100,000 donations. It was people donating $10, $15, $20, all that, you know, and that's all they can contribute at that time. But that's what matters. And like I said, I think that just goes to prove the point of, like what you said, makes a true San Antonian just serving the community, giving back. So I definitely agree with that. How do you want to be remembered? And I know that's another loaded question, but you know, what legacy do you want the Raul Jimenez?
He's like, leave me alone.
I know.
Hey, y'all are good. You know, at the end of the day, I think I touched on it before, but ultimately I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good Christian. I just want to be good. At the, you know, when we look at the end, you know, I got a foot in the box, you know, my life is flashing before me kind of style. I just want to know that I've helped more and I haven't taken much, but I've done a lot of good. I want my daughter to be brave. I want her to do the same exact thing. But ultimately I want to leave a legacy saying, hey, there's a lot of people that need our help. And we're very fortunate, whether it's just being able to breathe. I mean, you know, I caught COVID in July and I thought I was on my end.
Oh,
you know, I spent about 12 days in the hospital and it really opened my eyes. You know, the doctor waited 7 days before he came out and said, okay, I don't think you're going to die.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, wow, it was pretty bad. But, you know, it opened my eyes and it made me realize that, you know what, I don't think anyone's ever ready. So when you say the legacy, it's living a day in and day out, not taking a break, not thinking like, hey, you know, you did good on Monday, but you don't have to do good on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, it's opening doors, saying thank you. And at the end, you know, my grandfather's always been one, his famous words were, we come into this world with nothing and we'll leave this world with nothing. It's what we do in between the counts. And I think that really resonates with my soul. And at the end, I just want to know that I did everything I can to help and everything that I could. And hopefully, you know, my daughter, my wife, everyone else follows in the footsteps and we continue, whether it's this legacy or another, you know, continue to thank you, you know, just say thank you to people and just be kind. And I think that ultimately is the legacy I'd like to leave behind.
I'm so glad to hear that you came out of, you know, catching COVID on the good end. And I know the community, I'm sure, is appreciative that mm-hmm. you're still around, right, for everything that you've given back. On a lighter note, I just want to say congrats to you because you are the only guest, and I've done this for about 80 episodes now, you're the only guest to ever say that you want to be remembered as a good husband and a good father. Like, so I just want to say that's awesome because you're literally the only one. And I'm sure all of them probably meant that, you know, but you're the only one to actually say that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. At the end, I got to lay my head down. So if I'm not being good, I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm sure your spouse appreciates that. You know, before we let you go, let the listeners know, plug in here. Where can we find you? Where can we find the Raul Jimenez Jr. Thanksgiving dinner? You know, where can we follow you? Where can we stay up to date? Any information that you want to provide to the listeners before we let you go?
Sure. So obviously you can go to the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving dinner website. We also have a Facebook and Instagram as well. You can follow me. I'm always available. I'm pretty much everywhere when it comes to searching. I kind of, you know, I've been blessed to have the name. So I normally pop up. But ultimately, we're just here. We're here for the city. We're here for the community. You know, we do a lot of fun stuff. You know, the kids will create all the placemats for the seniors and for all our guests. So all the, you know, kindergarten kids are saying happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy your meal, things like that. So we encompass everyone in this community. We do a lot of food drives. It's a little different this time of year because it's not what it was 2 years ago, but we'll get back there. It's just a matter of we're here for the community. And if you search us, Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving dinner, we'll pop up. And any way, any support, like our page, share our page, whatever it may be, it'll go a long way. And we've been stretching that dollar for many, many years. And that's how we get 25,000 people fed.
Thank you so much, Raul, for joining us here in Searching for San Antonio. We really appreciated the conversation. And I know our listeners will too.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a blessed holidays. If y'all need anything or y'all want to, you know, put some gloves on, I know a guy that can help you guys out.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Raul. That's going to wrap up our interview with Raul. We really hope you enjoyed this interview. We're going to take one last quick break and we'll be right back with our interview recap. So don't go anywhere. Hey guys, it's Zach from the podcast. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement, but I don't just stop there. If you have any questions regarding life insurance, Medicare, or of course your retirement plan, I'd be happy to help. I'm an independent advisor and work with over 10 different companies. I'm able to meet with you via Zoom, in person, or even over the phone. If you'd like to schedule a free meeting, you can email me at zesperiqueta@outlook.com, or you can simply text me at 210-760-0409 for a schedule link. Also, be sure to follow me at Zach Espy Advisor. I'm looking forward to meeting with you. Birds up and viva San Antonio.
Okay, welcome back to Searching for San Antonio. So Zach, what did you think?
I really enjoyed that conversation. You know, before we had this recording, when you first brought up that we were going to interview Raul, I was talking to my girlfriend about it and I was like, have you heard of this? Because I had heard the name. I had heard of the name before. I didn't really know what it was until, of course, you talked to me about it. I looked more into it and I was like, how did I not know? Right. It was the same thing with the fact that I hadn't visited Luminadia, right? Like, I've been here my whole life. I've heard of this thing called the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving Dinner, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So hearing from Raul just about the origins of the event and how it's carried on for three generations. I mean, is his grandfather, then his father, then him. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of everything was, like, I kind of, you know, I'd heard of him, and you've got to think that anybody who's willing to do something like this or be a part of something like this is a good person. But then, like, actually the way he spoke, I don't know. I really did get emotional a couple times in there. I was like, wow, this guy really cares.
You can tell how genuine he is.
Right.
It's kind of sad to hear that they've had to shift more to a food delivery. And obviously there's a good reason why, but I hope that the goal, and I'm sure it is, but I hope that the goal is to get back in person. I had seen some pictures from past events, past in-person events, where they had music, they had entertainment, and I'm sure the people that attended really enjoyed that. Guys, I know a lot of corporations and big companies out there pay y'all to volunteer. I know at Frost, they paid us to take time off to volunteer. So if you haven't done so this year, if you haven't taken your few days of volunteer, or if you haven't taken your volunteer days off this year, I mean, here's your opportunity, right? We're getting down to the last 2 months of the year. There's going to be some great volunteering opportunities out there here in San Antonio. This, of course, is for Thanksgiving. And what a great way. I mean, you can help with food prep. I'm sure they're going to need help with delivery. So I think Erica and I, you know, kind of talked about the potential of us volunteering. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great opportunity. But if you're looking for a volunteer opportunity, here it is. But with that said, that is going to wrap up another great episode of Searching for San Antonio. Shout out to Raul again for joining us on the podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast on your preferred listening platform. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I also ask that you leave a rate and review if you haven't already. If you want to keep up with the show and our talk show series, SA Talk, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SA Pod Network. Also, being that it is November, this whole month you have the opportunity to nominate us for Best of the City podcast as a part of San Antonio Magazine. If you remember, if you've been with us since last year, you know that we got Best of the City podcast last year. We're hoping to make it back-to-back years. So you can go to samagazine.com, San Antonio Antonio Magazine, go nominate us. You can just write it in as SA Podcast Network or San Antonio Podcast Network, either one. They're going to know who we are. If you have questions about advertising or partnership opportunities, please reach out to either Erica or myself. It's just our first names at sapodnetwork.com. If you're a listener and want to support the show, we would encourage you to visit our link in bio on any social media platform and click support monthly. Thanks again for listening, and viva San Antonio.